The Christian in Complete Armor by William Grinnell. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Chapter 20. A sharp reproof to all prayerless souls, with the dismal state that such are in shown. A word to those who live in the total neglect of this duty. Such there are to be found, who pass their wretched days, like so many swine. They never look up to heaven till God lays them on their back, nor are heard to cry in prayer till his knife is at their throat. What shall I say to these giants, the sons of the earth, that have renounced their allegiance to the God of heaven, these kin of Bashan, who, like so many metamorphosed Nebuchadnezzars, have lost the heart of a man and live as the beast, who while they feed take no notice of him that clothes the field with grass for them? Can I hope they will hear man who will acknowledge the God of heaven by praying to him? Surely your case is deplorable. What, not pray? Can you do less than by this homage to own God for your Maker, or less for your own soul than to beg their life of God, whose hand is lifted up against you? Are you resolved to throw yourselves into the devil's mouths without striking one stroke for your defense? If God had required a greater matter at your hands than this, the salvation of your souls would have deserved it. And will you hesitate at this? God does not put us to the cost of laying down the price of our ransom. No, not so much as to pay our prison fees. Only he bids thee pray, and he will reward thee. Their souls shall live that seek the Lord. Psalms 69, verse 32. Oh, what salt and vinegar this pour into thy wounds, when in hell thy conscience shall fly in thy face and tell thee thou hast not been there, if thou hast in time hath humbled thy soul before God and sought his favor in that way that cost Christ his blood. Either thou must be dispossessed of this dumb devil, or it may be thy damnation. And who dies with less pity than that malefactor who will not so much as go down on his knees or open his mouth to cry for mercy, though the judge on purpose defer the pronouncing of the sentence and break up the court, to see whether his proud spirit will stoop to ask his life at his hands. You know how angry Pilate was when Christ was silent. John chapter 19, verse 10. Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and power to release thee? Alas, poor creature, he could do nothing for or against him. And therefore Christ neither feared him, nor owed him so much as to bestow a word upon him. The warrant for Christ's death was sealed in heaven, and he, with the rest of Christ's enraged enemies, were but God's servants to do the execution according to the determined counsel of God. But how much more reason hath the great God to be provoked by thee and say, Wilt thou not speak to me? Pray to me. Dost thou not know I have power to save or damn, to deliver thee to the tormentor, or keep thee out of his hands? Or dost thou suppose that God is bound to save thee, pray or not? If he doth, I promise you he shall do more for thee than for others, yea, than for his own son, who made strong cries and supplications to be saved by him. God hath laid the method of salvation, and think not that he will not make a blot in the counsel of his will for thy pleasure. What he hath written shall not be reversed. Yea, though others should be so kind out of pity to pray for thee, yet if thou be thyself a prayerless soul, thou shalt die the death. If they were Noah, Samuel, and Daniel that stood up to beg thy life, they should not be heard for thee. Prayers by proxy in this case will not prevail. When the Israelites came begging to Samuel for his prayers, mark what caveat he annexed. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. 1 Samuel 12:24. As if he had said, Do not set me to do that for you which you will not do for yourselves. It is not all the interest my prayers have in heaven will keep the wrath of God from falling on you if you be wicked. Therefore, fear the Lord and serve him, that is, pray and obey him. Fear often denotes the worship of God. Genesis 31, verse 42. God is called the fear of Isaac, that is, the God whom he feared and worshipped. So, Jeremiah 10:7, who would not fear thee, O King of nations? That is, worship thee, because the worshipping of God results from the reverency and fear we have of him. Christ was heard in that he feared, Hebrews 5:7. That is, his religious fear was expressed in his strong cries, which he groaned forth to God in his agony. Therefore, so long as you are prayerless, you live without the fear of God. And what will not such a wretch dare to do? Even anything that Satan shall command him, though it be to go to a wizard. When Saul had given over inquiring after God, we hear him knocking at the devil's door and asking counsel of a witch. Oh, take heed of living so near the tempter. If Satan might have his wish, surely it would be this, that the creature might live prayerless. For by this we should do the greatest spite possible to God, in that he makes the creature set him at naught in all his attributes and have the greatest advantage against the sinner. Now he hath thee as sure as the thief hath the traveler, when he hath thrown him into a ditch fast bound and stopped his mouth, so that he cannot cry for help. In a word, thou art free booty for Satan to satisfy his lust upon thee. He that prayeth invites God into his acquaintance, and soon shall have it, as we see in Paul, who has Ananias sent from God to him. But he that lives in the neglect of this duty gives the devil further possession of him. Thou art the man most fit for him to make an atheist of. I should not wonder that the devil persuades thee there is no God, who already liveth in such defiance against him, as cannot but make the belief of a deity dreadful to thy thoughts. Herod was soon persuaded to cut off John's head because, when alive, he so troubled his conscience. And it is to be feared thou wilt easily be drawn to attempt the stifling all thoughts of a deity from whom thy conscience expects to hear nothing that can please thee. It is probable thou hast made much of the atheist in thee already, or thou darest not deny God that part of natural worship which they that knew him least gave unto him. I am sure the scripture lays this boat of irreligion at the door of atheism. The fool would fain persuade himself there is no God, and when he hath got so far the mastery of his conscience as to block God out of his decree, he will soon leave him out of his pattern. P-A-T-E-R-N-O-S-T-E-R. Psalms 14:1. But some will ask if I think that anywhere the gospel is preached neglect prayer on this account. I do. And which is more, I think there are worse atheists to be found under the meridian light of the gospel than the darkest nook in America. As weeds grow rankest and richest grounds and fruits ripest and hottest climates, so do sins grow in the greatest height where the gospel's sun climbs highest. Who is blind but my servant, and blind is the Lord's servant? Isaiah 42:19. Who are such atheists as those that have their eyes put out by the light of the gospel? The poor Indian's little knowledge of God is for want of light, which may be cured when it is brought to them. But if a juristic atheism, as that in the gospel times and places commonly is, falls upon a soul so rebelling against the light, this is incurable. Here the very visual faculty is perished and the eye bored out. End of chapter 5, having been read by Peter John Parises.